You turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In verses 6 to 9, I draw your attention to the words that run from the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, down to verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. What we have here is the effects of the gospel. The effects of the gospel under the imagery of the reversal of the fall and of the curse on our world. We have really here a picture of paradise before the fall. A world, a creation before the sin and curse entered into it, where there was no ravenous beasts and no death and nothing like what takes place in nature now that is under the curse. And so this is what the seed of the woman does. He reverses this. He reverses this because he deals with the devil, he deals with sin, and he deals with the curse. And it is the gospel, really, which brings a great reversal. And so this change all comes about because of Christ. Verse 1, there shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And verse 10, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It is Christ that brings about this great reversal. And Christ does that not in all of humanity, but he does it in his redeemed people. He does it in the redeemed creation. He does it in sinners that he saves by his grace, who he fills with the knowledge of himself. He changes them. He changes their nature. He removes the curse. And so this is a picture here of what really has happened to us if we have encountered Christ. He has changed us. His grace has changed us. So there's no millennium here. And this kind of thing here doesn't last for just 1,000 years, and then all of a sudden at the end it's all reversed and it's as bad as ever. No, this is a change which goes into eternity, which is everlasting like his grace. A change that he begins in his people now on earth, and which ultimately will have its final fruition in glory. The gospel brings a radical change. And the gospel does this now. This is what the people of God should be. This is what they should be now. Every communion, in a sense, should be like this, shouldn't it? The wolf dwelling with the lamb. The leopard lying down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling lying together. Now, this isn't about animals. Does God care for oxen, as the apostle said? This isn't about animals. This is about the change of our ravenous nature. This is about what grace does to the people of God. And that is manifested in the community. When all the people of God sit down together, who in their past were so black, so ravenous, so wicked. It's all pictured here. And so in God's holy mountain, it is renowned for this, that there is no hurt, nor do they destroy in all my holy mountain. In Christ's church,
no one hurts. In Christ's church, no one destroys. At least they ought not to. The wolf dwells with the lamb. You see, a Christian ought not to be a hurting person. A Christian is Christ-like, gentle, meek, tender. Jesus says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. They shall not do that. It is not a mark of grace. It's not a mark of grace to be a destroyer and wrecker of God's church. It's not a mark of grace to be a herder and a wrecker in God's mountain. It's not a mark of grace to hurt or destroy in my holy mountain. It's not. And so the Christian is one who is like the lamb. You see, there are two kinds in this chapter, isn't there? There's the unclean beasts, the unclean ravenous beasts, and then there's the clean beasts, the gentle beasts, the kid, the calf, and so on and so forth, the cow, the ox. You see, they were beasts that could be sacrificed. They all picture Christ, the tender, the gentle one, the sinless one, the clean one, the one who could be sacrificed. And then there are these other beasts that they picture us, the ravenous, the unclean, the dark, the wicked. And so Christ is pictured by the sacrificial beasts, gentle, gentle-natured. That's Christ. But before we did encounter Christ, we did hurt. And we did destroy him. We didn't care what we did. We were malicious, wicked, and we full of envy and deceit. We had the nature of the wolf. We had the sneakiness of the leopard. We had the poison of asps under our lips. That was how we lived. That was how we behaved. That's how we made our living. That's how we got on in the world. Deadly, hurting, like the cockatrice or the otter. Serpent-like, devilish-like, unclean, foul, malicious, hurtful. But the gospel has changed us. We're still sinners, yes. It is the wolf that lies down with the lamb. It is the leopard. We are still sinners. But the nature has been changed. We don't devour the lamb. We don't hurt the kid. We don't. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. No. There's a change through grace. A change that is evident. And if we are Christians, we are changed. And we shouldn't hurt or destroy in God's holy mountain. I think the Apostle Paul labors on this in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse 10, he says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." And then he adds, "If any man defile," and it literally is, "if any man destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy." You see, if a man destroys the temple of God, he has not been changed by grace, and God will destroy him. "For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye?" And Paul, I think, has in mind here, "They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain." And the man that will hurt or destroy in God's holy mountain, in God's temple, him shall God destroy. It is true there are wolves in sheep's clothing, but they are not referred to in our text. These are wolves whose nature has been changed. I want to give you some spiritual application, just a few. The first one is, who does the wolf dwell with? The lamb. It was the lamb that changed us, you see. It was the lamb that took away our ravenous nature. We dwell with the lamb. In the midst of the throne there was a lamb, as if it was newly slain. The lamb. The wolf dwells with the lamb. The lamb is Christ. And so there is this dwelling. He is first, and we dwell with the lamb. And we are round the table as wolves, dwelling with the lamb. And then you'll notice, secondly, if I may throw it out to you for your thought, that the congregation is made up of all sorts. Some of us were awful wolves in our past. Some of us were terribly ravenous. Paul was like that. He was a wolf. He must have saw himself in this. I persecuted the church of God. I am the chief of sinners. I was a wolf. He is more or less implying. And even though he was saved by grace, he still didn't forget what he was. I persecuted the church of God. I am wolf. Wolf changed, wolf transformed by grace, but that's what I am and what I was. My nature has internally been changed, Paul could say. I love Christ now, I love the church of God now. But before I had the ravenous nature. And now Paul sits with the Lamb, and he sits with other of God's saints that he ravaged, and he persecuted, and he hurted, and he hurt and destroyed. And now around the table like this, he could sit with them, as you are. We can sit together. I don't know what you were in the past, but I can sit with you because Christ has changed you. Grace has reached you. You may have been an asp with a terrible, foul and poisonous mouth, but now we sit together in the holy mountain. Now we sit together, brethren and sisters in Christ, reached by the grace of Jesus, washed by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Such were some of you, but now ye are sanctified. And we sit together, we dwell together, we lay down together around this communion table, around the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? That I can sit with criminals and all kinds, and you know what I was? A sinner. The unclean nature before the new birth, and yet you sit with me as I sit with you because of grace. This is a wonderful picture. And so there is also this, they're willing to be led. This motley crew, they're willing to be led by a little child. What does that say about them? It says humility. They're not all leaders. Think they can run the church of God themselves? No, they have humility and submission and meekness. And a little child, they're not a little child. Because they have the grace of humility in their hearts. And the leaders of God's church should be little children. They're not lords. They're not arrogant and hurting. They ought to be childlike. Not in knowledge, of course, or experience, but childlike in heart and nature and in gentleness. A little child shall lead them. And they'll be willing to be led by such a little child. That bespeaks humility and meekness. And this communion table is a wonderful place then, isn't it? We sit down as brothers and sisters together. We're here. We're here. Wanting to be Christ. Wanting to be led by the Lord, even though it should be a little child that should lead them. And why are we like that? Meek and submissive and gentle and humble, as we ought to be, not destroyed or wrecking in God's house. Why are we like that? Because of Christ. Because of Calvary. Because His gentleness has made us great.